people be set free. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. To Ephesians chapter 2. Going to go a little different direction today. And we've been talking a lot about trust and different things over the past couple months. But this morning, I just want to share some things about the church, about the local church, and the importance of being a part of a local church, a body of believers. Amen. And A Place to Belong is the title of my message this morning. And the dictionary defines belong as to be in a proper situation that is suitable, appropriate, or advantageous. Belonging is not a new concept. It's been around since the beginning of time. In the book of Genesis, God said it is not good for man to be alone. The one who knows everything knew that there was an advantage in doing life together with other people. Amen? With someone else. We were created to live and conduct our lives as members of a community. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. It says, "So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit." We are fashioned for fellowship, but we have trouble with that idea because of the hurts, because of the disappointments that many of us have experienced in our life. The truth of the matter is, none of us can find peace or contentment or ultimately fulfill God's purpose in our lives by trying to do it on our own. You need other people in your life. Amen? Godly people. You need people, and we'll get into this more, you need people there that care about you. Throughout God's Word, this concept of belonging is revealed. It says in the Word that we are put together, that we're to be joined together, built together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together, and eventually it says we're all going to be caught up together. So some of them people you may not like, you don't want to associate with, you're going to be caught up with them and meet them in the air. You say, huh, they actually made it, amen? Praise the Lord. We need to know, as you read the Word, you will discover that we are all called to belong, not just believe in Jesus. The Bible does not reveal a picture of solitary individuals, lone rangers just plodding through their life without any hope of any meaningful relationships. Sadly, there's too many people that are frustrated. They're spiritual hermits. They've isolated themselves because of things that have happened in their life. Amen? Everybody sitting in this room knows people that have been active in the church at some point in their life. They may have been raised in the church. They may have been active in the church, going to church. Something happened. They got offended. They got hurt. And as a result of that, they've withdrawn from the church. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to happen in their life, is for them to withdraw and to become isolated. Amen? We don't want that. The devil has used hurtful events to deprive them of the fellowship, to deprive them of that belonging that everybody needs in their life. People desperately need that. Amen? Studies show that 4 out of 10 people experience feelings of intense loneliness. People get depressed. People feel like nobody cares for them. Nobody loves them. Our culture produces people who more closely identify with characters on TV than they do people in their own family or even worse, their next door neighbors. Most people don't even know their neighbors. Everywhere you look, there are signs that people are hungering for fellowship, community, and a sense of family. That's why you see places like the Elks, the Moose Lodge, amen, the VFW, the American Legion, the local coffee shop. You can drive by there at any time of day and there's people in the parking lot. Amen? People who are seeking fellowship, seeking to belong to something, to identify with something or someone. You know, beer commercials aren't selling beer. They're selling fellowship. They're selling community. You ever notice that? All these people together, they're having fun. They don't show the guy sitting on his back porch all by himself drinking. It's always a group of people. Everybody's having fun with their friends. That's what they're selling. That subtly they're pushing their alcohol. They're pushing that. But what are they saying? You buy our stuff, you're going to have a good time. You're going to have fellowship. Invite your friends over. That's what they're selling. The church needs to sell fellowship. A place to belong. It's not a place you come and get told what you can do and what you can't do and there's not any fun. We have a lot of fun. Amen? Facebook and Instagram, all the other social media sites over the past 2 or 3 decades have exploded in popularity. Why is that? Because they're supposedly social gathering places. There's no gathering there. Those people that are your friends aren't really your friends. You wouldn't even know them on the street if they walked right past you. You don't know anything about them. And it all it does is make people depressed because it's especially Facebook. Because everybody always posts how wonderful their life is and everything's just peachy and it's just grand. Right? Don't really tell the truth about them, the things that they're struggling with. Everybody's life on there is pretty perfect. Now, you do have those people that get on there and just spill their guts about everything. Right? But it's about they're looking for community. There is no substitute for the real thing. There's no substitute of interacting with people. Amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, the Good News translation reads like this of what we read earlier. It says, "So then, you Gentiles are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now citizens together with God's people and members of the family of God. You too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit." Everybody needs a place to belong. A place to that fits like your favorite pair of jeans or your favorite hoodie. Amen? You can slide into it and you just are at comfort. Or your worn out recliner that you sit in because it brings comfort to you. That's the way we're made. We are not made to live isolated. We are to be together, experiencing life with other people. The church was created by God to be that place. Church isn't just something you attend, it's something that you are. You become a part of it. Amen? Over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another or each other is used. We're not going to go over all of them. But it says, it commands us to love each other. We're to pray for each other, encourage each other, admonish each other, greet each other, serve each other, teach each other, accept each other, honor each other, bear each other's burdens, forgive each other, submit to each other, be devoted to each other, and so on, so on. Each other. Amen? It's about being involved and being a part of something bigger than yourself. The Christian life is more than just a commitment to Jesus Christ. It also includes a commitment to other Christians. It involves a commitment to a church, because a church isn't a place, it's people. The Bible uses metaphors to describe the church, but the most persistent one is that of family. In the New Testament, believers call each other brothers and sisters, signifying the type of relationship people are to enjoy when they become a part of the family of God. You're here this morning. Hopefully you found that to be true of this body of believers. That there's people that are here that you consider your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? People that you can count on. Sadly, there's a lot of people who have never felt like they really belong somewhere. The enemy wants to keep people isolated. You know, the thing is, you're part of the church family, but you're part of even something bigger than that, because you become a part of the family of God. Hallelujah. Look at, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. King Solomon wrote this passage of scripture, and I believe it's a good scripture to look at about the benefits and of belonging. There are benefits. We're going to look at three of them here this morning. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12, and the New American Standard reads, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. The first thing King Solomon says here is two people are better than one. The same concept that God presented in the Garden of Eden. And then he goes on to describe the three benefits of belonging. The first benefit is support. Amen? Belonging to a church family provides support. There in verse 9, the God's Word translation says, two are better off than one, because if one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad because there's no one to help him. Anybody know what it's like to get knocked down? To be tripped up? To stumble and fall? All of us know what that's like. Everybody in here has troubles from time to time. Right? We live in a fallen world. You're going to face trouble. You know, I used to, when I was working, this was many years ago, back when newspapers were a thing. Anybody remember a newspaper? When they were a real thing. We used to have the newspapers in the break room, and I'd always get the newspaper, and I'd read the sports page, and then I would always go back and read the comics. Anybody used to read the comics? I always loved the comics. And there were certain ones that I'd always like to read, and you know, one of them was Calvin and Hobbes, because he was always talking about things you could relate to. And there's one where Calvin gets dressed up in his special clothes for school. And he goes to school, and the first thing that happens, he sits on some bubble gum. Then he gets roughed up by a bully. He fails the test, and then he gets rained on the way home. Anybody ever had a day like that? And at bedtime, he says, you know, Hobbs, some days, even my lucky rocket ship underpants don't help. I mean, we all have days like that. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. But what did he say next? He said, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The challenges of life do not have a timetable. We don't get informed before they're going to occur. They always occur unexpectedly. And they'll try and leave you in anxiety and in worry and having sorrow. No human being on earth can escape hard times or tribulations, because they are part of life. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a difference. Amen? Because Jesus has overcome them, we can overcome them. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Everybody doing okay this morning? Philippians chapter 2. The Good News translation, starting in verse 1, reads like this: your life in Christ makes you strong, and His love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and you have kindness and compassion for each other. I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble toward one another, always considering others better than yourselves, and look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. Hallelujah. You're going to find support when you belong to a church. Amen. How are you going to overcome those things that happen in your life when trouble comes? You're going to overcome it because, first of all, you're in Christ. Amen. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And you're more than a conqueror through Christ. Amen. But you're also going to have people around you that can be praying for you. Amen. Praying for you and encouraging you and standing alongside of you when those challenges come. People that are looking out for your interest. Praise the Lord. The enemy wants you to be isolated and without any support or help. It's much easier to attack and to overcome that way. I don't know if you've ever seen the video on YouTube and different things, and people are like, I want friends like these. And there's this water buffalo, and these lions are attacking this water buffalo. And they've got it, like one lion's got its one leg, and the other one's got on its neck. And they're trying to pull it down, and there's several lions. It's like a pride of lions. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes all these other water buffalo, and they're just tossing these lions into the air and just trying to stomp them and kick them. And the water buffalo that's getting attacked is standing in the middle of it, and they surround it. That's the idea that Jesus has for the church, that when the devil attacks somebody that's a part of that church, that all them other believers just surround them by prayer, surround them, and just start kicking the daylights out of the devil. Amen? But if you're out there by yourself, I don't need to go to church. I don't need that. Those people are hypocrites. You don't know what was done to me. No, I don't. But you're going to stand before the man someday and answer for that. Amen? What they may have done to you may have been unconscionable. But the fact of the matter is that you've got to walk in forgiveness, and you've got to move past that, because the enemy's holding you in a place that he wants to keep you isolated, and he wants to just keep beating you up and just keep torturing your mind with those thoughts and those remembrances. And if you get into a place where you can belong and you can find some support, maybe you find other people that have experienced the same things, and they can say, look, I know what you're going through. I've went through it myself, but this is how I got the victory. Amen? This is how I overcome. This is what got me through. Maybe it's just a song that got you through. Maybe it was just a scripture that got you through. Maybe it was just somebody hugging on you and just saying, we're here for you, that gets you through. If you're isolated, you're never going to experience that. That's why the enemies try so hard to keep people out of church, people that are disenfranchised. I guarantee you, there's enough people in the Bowersville, Jamestown area that could fill up every church here and in Jamestown. People that used to go to church and were committed to church that don't go anywhere anymore at all. Because the enemy's got them off to the place where he's isolated them, and they feel like they're so far removed that they can never come back. The church has nothing there. Lie straight from the pits of hell. Amen? A place to belong. People that are there looking out for your interest, not just their own. Amen? Praise the Lord. Jesus is all about helping people. The church should be all about helping people. When Peter stepped out of the boat and started sinking, he cried out to Jesus. Jesus didn't let him drown. Say, well, he just doesn't have enough faith. Too bad, Peter. No, he reached out and grabbed a hold of him. Walked him, pulled him up to where he was at, and walked him back to the boat. Amen. There's times in our lives we need somebody just to reach a hold and reach down and grab a hold of us and pull us up to where they're at. That's what the church is for. That's what we as believers are for. Brothers and sisters in Christ, people that will be there for you. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, in John chapter 8, turn there if you would. John chapter 8. This is a perfect example of what people believe the church is and what the church truly is. John chapter 8, starting in verse 1, says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, And early in the morning he came into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, having set her in the midst. And they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" And they were saying this, testing him, in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone, and the woman was where she was in the midst. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more." A lot of people view the Pharisees' attitude as what the church is like. If I'm not perfect, if something happens, they're going to criticize me, they're going to ostracize me, they're going to stone me. And maybe that's happened to people. But that's not the way Jesus, the head of the church, handled it, right? No. When this woman was caught in adultery and public humiliated for it, Jesus didn't criticize her. Jesus didn't kick her when she was down. He reached out. He lifted her up and he gave her a fresh start. He brought forgiveness into the situation. He brought reconciliation. Amen? He corrected all those things. There may have been people that you come across that may have been treated like that. Kicked out of the church because of things they said, things they done. You know, I was watching a video, and it was a priest, and he was talking about, he was a young priest serving at this great big church, and he said he was sitting in the front, and the church was just packed. And this baby started crying, and the lady with the baby gets up, and you could tell she's all frustrated, and she's trying to get out, and people were, you know, how you think people may be looking annoyed, and the baby, and he said, the priest that was preaching that day said, "Ma'am, who told you to leave?" And she stopped. She said, "Nobody." He goes, "That's what I thought." He goes, "Go sit down, please." And he said, "And all you around her, help her in any way that you can." He said, "You don't need to leave because that baby's crying. You need to be in here." He said, "And if it bothers any of you, if it bothers you, then you need to leave." And he said, it blew him away, because he was thinking, when the father said something to her, he's thinking, "Oh man, he's going to get on her about bringing that crying baby and all this stuff." He said, "No, it was exactly the opposite." And he said, it was like people around her were just, you know, "Oh, what can I do? What do you need? You know, let me have the baby. I'll hold the baby for you for a while. I'll take care of your other kids." That's the way the church should be. Amen? I've had people say, "Well, doesn't it bother you if a child or baby's acting up?" I said, "Honestly, I don't even hear them half the time. I don't know. I'm not paying attention to that." Amen? People should be comfortable. And he said that's the way that church was. After that, was if people brought babies in and something happened, it wasn't people looking around saying, "What are you doing?" It was people looking around saying, "What can I do to help you?" That's the way the church needs to be. We're supposed to be there for one another. The Bible says in Galatians 6:2, help carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will follow Christ's teaching. Romans 15:1 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the shortcomings of the weak and not please ourselves. You're always going to have people that are at different levels of their spiritual walk than you are. Amen. Shouldn't look down on any. We should be excited when we get new people in here that are just on their start of their journey, because we can say, man, what an exciting thing lies ahead of you. Amen. We don't want to be the old grumble bumps and say, oh. Right? Those people that need to tell their face that God loves them, they need to stand in the mirror and tell them that. Those old prudes, dried up and dead. Don't want no prudes, man. Right? We all have burdens to bear and bad days to endure, and some days even wearing our lucky underpants aren't going to help. Believing or but having a church family that cares about you and who is willing to lift you up whenever you fall down, that's going to help you. Amen? Matthew 18:18-19, the Message paraphrase, reads like this. I really like how it says it. It says, take this most seriously. A yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. When you say to one another, what you say to one another is eternal. I mean this, when two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. Hallelujah. Find support. Find people that will pray with you. In this church, you're going to find people that know how to pray and know how to believe with you and agree with you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Belonging to God's family provides us with the strength and support we need to get through troubled times. While your relationship with Jesus Christ is personal, God never intends for it to be private. Amen. We just got to put ourselves out there. It's not easy for some of us. Amen. Some of us are very quiet people. You know, I can be in a room with people and I don't have to say a word. I can. I don't have to talk. I'm not a very talkative person. I just like to be left alone a lot of times. Amen. But we've got to be where we're okay having those relationships with people and sharing with people and believing with people. Amen. We can find that support in the church. The second thing that being a part of a church body will do is it'll help keep the passion for Jesus alive in your life. It'll help fan the flames of your passion in Jesus. There in Ecclesiastes 4:9-11, the New Living Translation version of that reads, two people are better off than one, for two people lying close together can keep each other warm, but how can one be warm alone? This practical advice, if you're living somewhere where it's cold or whatever, but it's also can be used as a spiritual metaphor. You don't have to live in the desert at night or in the tundra or at Antarctica or in Alaska to feel cold and alone. Amen? Anytime one of God's children gets separated from the family, our fire starts to go out. Spirit begins to grow cold. It's like that ember that pops out of the fire and lands away from the flames. It'll slowly start to fade and lose its fire. We sang about that this morning. We need people there when we start to dim. We need people there to fan the flame. We need people come to church and somebody shares a testimony about what God's done in their life or what God did in their life. Just keeps us going. Amen? Hebrews 10:24, the ESV version says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another." Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Amen? I've had people tell me, I don't need to go to church. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I see your post on Instagram. I see your post on Facebook. Where you're toasting with a Bud Light in your hand or whatever else you're drinking that night. Or your margaritas. I see it. Can't tell me that everything's right on. Amen? People that were being used by God in the church don't want any part of it anymore. We got to stir one another up. Amen? If you're not meeting with other people, of like-minded people, people that have a passion for God, your passion's going to wane and it's going to go out. It's just a principle. It's just the way it is. You've got to stay hooked up. Thing is, you take that ember and you put it back close to the fire again, it's going to burst right back into flames. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." 1 Thessalonians 5:11. One of the most important reasons to be a part of the church is to stir each other up. Belonging to a church family that you worship with and fellowship with fans the flames and keeps your passion for Jesus Christ alive. The enemy wants nothing more than just to get you out there all by yourself. You don't have people that are just there in your life to speak life into that situation, to speak hope into that situation, to stir you up. Amen? The third thing that you're going to find if you belong to the church is you're going to find strength. Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, "And if anyone can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart." Belonging to a church family provides strength. None of us can do alone what all of us can do together. There's strength in numbers. Amen? There's strength in people saying, "Hey, I need you to pray for me." You got people in this church that know how to pray. Amen? People that pray the word. People that speak the word. There's strength in numbers. I'm going to share another cartoon. This is one of my favorite ones here. Peanuts. Anybody? Charlie Brown? You know, there's an old one that Lucy walked into the room and demanded that her brother Linus change TV channels. And he says, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" "These five fingers," said Lucy. "Individually, they are nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they become a force to be reckoned with." "What channel do you want?" sighed Linus. Turning away, he looked at his fingers and he said, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" Amen. I mean, there's strength. Amen. When you have one or two people, but you've got a whole group of people that pray, that meet down here in Wednesday nights, and we get together and we pray over things, and we've seen just remarkable, remarkable results. Amen. Why? Because we pray in faith. Not that we're anything special, but we're just praying that what the Word says. We're taking God at His Word and we're coming together where two or three are gathered together. Jesus said, "I'll be in your midst. And if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it." Amen? And we ask in Jesus' name and we're together in faith and we're believing God for a good report. And it happens. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the power of teamwork. Is when we come together and do that. Ephesians chapter 5. A couple more scriptures and we'll close. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. And 16. The Amplified Version. Says, "Rather let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly. Enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things unto Him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of Him, the whole body, the church in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need, is properly working in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love." The church, all them believers, fitly joined together. Amen. Closely joined together. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The church in the book of Acts in Jerusalem was a hodgepodge of believers from all kinds of different backgrounds. Had different personalities, sometimes conflicting opinions, yet they found a way to work together. They understood their strength in numbers, and because they did, lives were changed, history was changed. The person who says, "I don't need the church," is either arrogant or ignorant. I'd say a little bit of both. The church is so significant that Jesus died on the cross for it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about all the organs of the body fitly joined together and working together in harmony. In order for your organs to fulfill their purpose, they must be connected to your body. The same is true for you as a part of Christ's body. You were created for a specific role. God has something specific for you to do in the body of Christ. Everybody. Amen. You'll miss this purpose of your life if you're not attached to a living local church. You discover your role in life through your relationship with other believers. As I said earlier, God just doesn't call us to believe. He calls us to belong. The entire Bible is the story of God building a family that will support, strengthen, and stir one another up to love and to good works for all eternity. And He created it for each of us to be a part of it. Amen? Not to forsake it, not to get outside of it. God has a place for us to belong. And when we invite people to church, it should be with that mindset that we're just inviting you to become a part of a community of people that care about you, that are going to love you, that are going to be there with you, that are going to support you, that are going to stand with you, that are going to fight for you. Amen? Hallelujah. They may not believe it, because they may not have experienced that in the past, but you can still tell them, hey, just come and check it out. Because this is what it's all about. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank You. We praise You for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You created the church with each and every one of us in mind. And Father, I thank You and praise You that while church is a place where people can belong and people can be supported, people can be encouraged, people can be strengthened, Lord. And I just thank You and praise You, Father, for just speaking to each and every one of us. Today, all those listening through this podcast, Lord, that we would be the type of people that You've called us to be. Encouraging one another, loving one another, supporting one another, praying for one another. Just thank You for that. Praise You for that. Ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.